iHeart Podcast.
Happy anniversary, Beth. This is episode 52.
Happy anniversary podcast.
We started this bad boy 52 weeks ago on May 15th. So it's the next day, but close enough.
It's a calendar year.
It's a calendar year.
It's a rotation around the sun.
We sure did. Took another lap around this blue marble. We didn't go around we weren't on the sun. I know how the year works.
I was just looking at Instagram videos of my own Instagram videos of our kids from like a year ago, and man, have they grown.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens, right?
Yeah, well, I look back at them. Here's what I think is hard as a parent is like your kids are the absolute hardest when they're at the cutest age, right?
That's how nature gets you to not murder them.
Yeah. So I look back at these videos and they're so adorable. And I'm like, obviously, I thought they were adorable at the time, but it's hard to fully appreciate it, I think, when you're so in it.
Oh, yeah. I don't really take time at that age to be like, wow, you're so cute. You're busy going, stop, no, ha!
I feel really, like, guilty about the passage of time. Like, Bryn brought home a school Mother's Day thing he made for me with handprints. And
Happy Mother's Day, by the way.
And it has a poem on it that says, like, these are my handprints on the walls, all over everything. One day you'll miss them and there won't be any more handprints anymore. And I really started crying reading it because I was like, why are you telling me this?
Bryn, why did you write this poem?
It was really intense.
Oh boy. So I spent the week, well, you were out of town. You were in Arizona having the time of your life.
The time of my life.
Ladies trip.
Girls trip.
And I was here. We had a great time. It's easier and easier and easier to be alone with these two kids.
And it was not bad. You had what, like 4 days?
Four days. It was great. I love it. I got the routine. We went for the longest walk we've ever gone on.
That's great.
And to McDonald's. That's how I got them to go.
They walked all the way to McDonald's?
And all the way back.
Wow.
And then we went to his friend's house, and after dinner there, we walked all the way to Carvel and all the way back. They melted down big time at a certain point, but it was just, they
were
laughing.
You didn't carry them any of the way to McDonald's?
Not a single bit.
Wow.
They can go a long way. We don't challenge them enough. They don't want to leave. Leaving was so hard. But as soon as you start walking, like, they don't stop. They just keep going.
This is kind of what scares me about play dates on the weekends, because so often when we do a play date, it's just one of us home to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And then I have to decide, like, am I going to bring both kids to this place and hang out there and then try to leave with both of them, or try to go pick Bryn up where he's going to be upset that he sees me and has to leave. Basically, my whole concern is like to carry Bryn kicking and screaming down like two flights of stairs when I also have to worry about Maven.
That hasn't happened in a little while.
Really?
I mean, he doesn't want to go, but he doesn't do a full meltdown anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I know it hasn't, and I'm still scared of it happening. It's like PTSD.
Take a risk. Live a little.
I know.
So let's talk about the year. I had a big plan to do like a big retrospective and maybe cut things together. I don't have time for that. Somebody want to do that for us? Great. But I did have enough time to go through all the episode descriptions and skim them.
Okay.
A lot has happened.
Yeah.
Too much to cover, but it was that immediate, like, oh my God, yeah, like they were much smaller kids. And also going through and seeing what the popular episodes are. And of course, there are either episodes where there's buzzwords like sex in the title, But one of our most popular episodes, according to iTunes, is the Peter is not defensive.
Yeah, people love listening to us fight.
We went through a stretch and where we had some pretty intense, all laying it all out there episodes that were, I think, hard to listen to for a lot of people. I'm not going to speak for you, but I have learned a lot editing those. And what I think is so funny now, understandably, there's people that get really wrapped up in like our issues and like our successes and failures to communicate. But I feel like we've figured some stuff out and I'm like very happy with my life and with you and everything. But there's people that are not caught up. And so they start listening to the show and there's a stretch in the middle there that's a lot of contentious stuff. And they'll send emails now.
I haven't seen those emails lately.
Oh,
you guess I'm just not.
Oh, we got one really, really nice voicemail.
Okay.
We might play it from a really nice guy in Ohio that's really worried that we're going to get divorced.
What?
But then I went and saw what episode. He's like way back.
Yeah.
In these episodes. And I want to tell him. Well, I can't email him back because it's a phone number. But I'm like, it's going to be okay.
That's the thing that is slightly concerning is people listening to these out of context and we're like, okay, we've bored our listeners with this argument 7 times. We're just going to gloss over it. And then they're like, they think what? Like,
yeah.
What are you going to do?
You catch up with the podcast.
Then if you're going to listen to the podcast, you have to listen to every single episode.
Then you'll know that we've solved all of our relationship problems and we never have issues anymore. We fixed it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's, you know, some days we're better than others.
Yeah.
And we're always tired.
Yeah. There's a lot more better days. One, I would say the thing I am most thankful for in this podcast, I've decided that's what this segment is now, is what it has done for you and me. Because this has become therapy. As
it has forced us to communicate pretty intensively.
Mm-hmm. and I'm really grateful for it. It forces me to think about what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I'm most grateful for is that you edit the podcast, so then you have to listen back to yourself and what you didn't listen to the first time when I was talking.
So you're really thankful of the lessons I've learned and you've learned nothing from that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I've learned nothing.
All right. You know, I still owe you an episode where I hijack the podcast. You know that's coming, right?
Well, I didn't really hijack the podcast. You still took it over at the end and
you dictated that.
You had the final say. When I hijacked the podcast, I will say that episode, I think I was incredibly diplomatic. And then your half, you were like, I'm going to take all those compliments and then be critical.
Well, are you criticizing how I accepted some very harsh notes? I think I was very open and very receptive to what you gave me. I was also thrilled that you gave me compliments. And admittedly, that's what popped out to me first.
Well, that's your love language.
It sure is.
I had a thought the other day. Mm-hmm. You know how we're all sort of struggling to learn our partner's love languages.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to sound incredibly hippy-dippy, but I was like, maybe our point here on Earth is to learn all the love languages.
I want to laugh at that, but I also love that sentiment. I can get on board with that. You want to know something that happened a few weeks ago that made me happier than anything I can remember in recent history?
What was it?
I made dinner. It was a good dinner. You came home. You liked the dinner. It made you happy. You left the room and then you came in. And when I was sitting down, you came up to me and you fully embraced me and clutched my head to your bosom. And I think you just said, thank you for dinner. And it was the most tender, earnest, warm sentiment that you are capable of.
Well,
and it really made me happy like nothing else.
Here's what happened on my end is that the dinner was very good. Like,
thank you.
It was simple, but it was very, very good. Like, it was chicken with like a homemade sauce. And I think the food thing has really been, I've been incredibly grateful for you stepping up with food, because it felt like in the past, and I feel like, I think this is kind of a trade-off that a lot of moms feel like they have with certain things, where like, it was like, okay, either I handle dinner or I try to get Peter to handle dinner, but it's not going to be what I want it to be.
Yeah.
And your cooking skills have started to surpass mine in certain recipes. And I was just like, I can't believe with no work on my part to plan this.
You got what you wanted.
I got a good meal that was like balanced, you know, different ingredients, vegetables. I was overcome.
This is something it motivated me to do that more. That emotional labor, which is something we've talked about a lot. And it's something that I keep thinking like, oh yeah, I get it. I get what that is. And then I keep having new aspects of it that I'm like, oh yeah, it's that too. And this is a great example, which is, you know, you doing the whole thing is one form of actual and emotional labor, but then being like, well, Peter, you take care of it. The energy to make me do it, and then also make sure I do it right, and that I do what we need, is, I know for you, it is more exhausting a lot of the time than just doing it yourself. And that's a big point of a lot of emotional labor things. It's not the actual doing, it's the making sure it gets done and worrying about it and thinking about it and stressing about it. And so,
well, sometimes it feels like the, like, sort of like bringing you up to speed and like all of that is just, it's like compounded by so many other things of then like when the kids, like looking back at these videos and like when the kids were younger and I was more tired and I was having thyroid issues and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's like to get you to do that, I would have to sort of manage it. And yeah, it's so exhausting. And so,
and then also deal with me being defensive about it and not understanding and working through it. And you're not the most patient person to begin with. And then, well, and you're already halfway through it and I'm just beginning and I'm going, why are you mad?
Well, no, because what I was going to say was that like, you would be doing that and struggling with it. And then meanwhile, I'm dealing with like two toddlers like in the other room. So me giving the opportunity to learn means that I have to pick up the slack elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like so slowly putting the recipe together and like taking your time and the kids are screaming and getting hungry. You know what I mean? Like that's what I was going through on my end. So where we are now is such a strange turn for me.
It feels very sudden, but it's not.
I really do think Maven turning 3 was like a huge thing for us.
I think you buying that 30-minute cookbook.
Well, yeah, that too, but
was a very,
everything is slowly coming together.
Things just keep getting better. What is that from? Oh, that's Queer Eye?
That's from Queer Eye. One of your favorite shows.
It's appropriate. It's great. So
Queer Eye has probably had a hand in this as well.
You know what? Yeah, probably.
This next segment is called Would You Knows. That's where we share a hypothetical parenting question.
So for this episode, this is our anniversary episode, and we're going to keep it loose. We're mostly going to read a lot of email from you, our beloved listeners.
Yeah, we're going to keep it light and fluffy.
And I just want to take a minute to go, again, we so appreciate everyone who writes in or calls in. We read every single word that you send us. And I am not good at replying to all of them.
We do appreciate them. Sometimes when we've had, for example, our multi-week argument spirals, if you guys start writing in about the thing we've already been discussing for a while, we will try to move on to different topics. But we do appreciate your input, and it is often interesting and useful. So
yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we read together and learn from because we've talked about it, but then we don't necessarily return on the podcast. So just know that
we do very much appreciate you guys.
Very much read everything and love you all. Hi, Beth and Peter. I'm a mom of an 18-month-old girl. Love listening to the joys and woes of your experience as parents because it is so relatable. Anyways, I thought I'd send over an anniversary episode. Hypothetical. Here goes. You have one child who happens to be born on your wedding anniversary. At first, you are overjoyed. What a perfect way to celebrate your marriage. But 3 years later, when you have sufficiently ignored your relationship to the point where you aren't even sure what the other person does day to day, you realize that you have hit a rough patch and need to do something in order to save your marriage. Your child is about to turn 3, is very aware of his birthday, and getting really excited about it. You want to plan slash feel pressured by family to plan a birthday party for him. Excuse me, I just burped on the microphone. But also want to plan something special for your anniversary. You truly want to celebrate both events with the attention they deserve. Do you put the relationship on the back burner yet again and have a party on the actual birthday? Sarah.
Okay. I feel like maybe we've talked about this on the show in the past, but I am incredibly not tied to dates.
Me neither.
You know.
And I love it.
So the big reason for this is that growing up, my mom was a nurse and she had to work every other holiday and every other weekend. And my dad worked on the radio doing play-by-play, so he sometimes would have to go do like a high school or college football game on Thanksgiving or something. So there's always something kind of like pushing our schedules around, which I think was good training for our lives as two people in entertainment who don't always have full control over our schedules. So I just think you pick the day that's convenient to have the party and you have the party then. This Maven's birthday was 2 weeks ago? We did her birthday party on a Saturday. Her birthday was on a Wednesday, and then she got cupcakes at daycare on Wednesday, but we didn't really do much.
Yeah. I will say I'm super flexible about that stuff too. Like when your birthday or anniversary rolls around, we don't worry about doing anything on the day.
Yeah.
We're just like, where's a convenient night to go to dinner? We also talk about we're not big gift people. Like I was talking to, you know, my buddy Nick, who's like, this is the tin anniversary is coming up. I need a tin gift.
I'm becoming more of a gift person. Maybe not towards you yet. I have been with our children.
Yeah. Well, it's easier to buy gifts for kids because they're excited about stuff. You know,
For a while, we just weren't really buying extra stuff. Like we were on kind of a tight budget, and it was like, well, let's just wait till we really want something and not try to, like, I always feel like if you're forcing gifts, it feels like kind of a waste of money if you're on a really tight budget.
Yeah. But I love a present that's meaningful. That's something or something I really want.
Yeah.
And I think you're the same, but it's like, if not, who cares?
Yeah. But I'm trying again, I'm trying to develop the love language of gifts because
interesting.
I think it, you know, I was raised in a very thrifty household, so that's not one of my love languages. I don't like, I like gifts, but I wouldn't never like, but prior to very recently, I wouldn't have been like, oh, I'm going to go out of my way to get this thing for someone, you know?
Yeah.
And now that we have some flexibility with our budget, I'm like, oh, I really understand what it means to sort of get this like, $25, $30 thing that sort of says something about my relationship with this person or like that I'm noticing what they care about, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm working on that.
That's interesting. Boy, yeah. What love languages?
But you're hard to buy gifts for because you really only want like huge things like TVs and iPhones.
If it's not $1,000, I don't need it.
Yeah.
That's true. I have like 10 points I wanted to hit in there. But
anyway,
boy,
the question about...
Oh, yeah. In my mind, it doesn't matter.
I think we do the birthday first, probably. Like, we find time for that.
Oh, then... I know what I was going to say. And this is the difference between us, is that that whole idea that your mom was always working, so holidays happened whenever, you know, people were around. And that's really freeing and great because it's you do it when it works. But I think there's also like a, you know, I love like the ritual and the tradition and the rules of like how my family does Christmas and birthdays and stuff.
Yeah, you love rules.
And it makes it so exciting. Like, this is the only moment of the year this thing happens. So the anticipation, like, especially as a kid, building up to Christmas morning and you can't go down and until everyone's lined up and like, it's all revealed in a moment. I connect with that so much, which is to like, let's make moments amazing. And so when like Maven's birthday is coming up and it's like the day before and you're like, should we let her open one of these presents? In my brain, I'm like, no, like, you're destroying, not destroying, but you're weakening a later moment.
You're very strict about that.
I'm trying to be loose about it, but in my mind, it's just, that's so exciting to me to let it like all explode at once. And like the timing of those things.
But kids sometimes can't, like when they're little, they can't emotionally like process that many presents at one time. So when adults force them to do it on a schedule, it's like, it just makes them like,
sure,
agitated.
But when it's also like, we never got presents, like toys, unless it was like one of those 2 days of the year, your birthday or Christmas. There's
yeah,
no extra, extra stuff. And so it made you appreciate it. And
but there, our kids are at an age where they still have no understanding of what is happening at any.
Sure. Well, I think Bryn is I think this birthday with Bryn for sure. But anyway, you know, when my love language is not, my mid-range love language is quality time.
Your mid-range.
It's that like, oh, I never think of it. I don't pursue whatever that is. Like, let's go do a thing. But whenever I do, I'm so happy that I am and that we've done a thing. And that's one thing I want in the next year to force myself to do, is to like plan some simple things that's like a focus time together with the family and just like in you and me.
Well, it is good when we take them out. Like if, like when we go to like aquarium or whatever, that's exciting. But even just a nature walk, at the end of the day, I feel like, mm-hmm. oh, we all went and did that thing and we got outside. Like that feels good.
Oh, I mean, I can sit inside all day long. It rained all day Sunday. We did a lot of TV the weekend. Still no TV on school days and I love it.
I know. Bryn yelled at me tonight because I had the TV on.
I know. Like, he came and he told on you.
He was like, no TV on Mondays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays. Only TV on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's my boy. But even just, again, walking to McDonald's and back, I feel like I did it. I conquered this day. It's simple, but it works.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, real quick. I just tried to explain at bedtime to Bryn, basically that people, there used to not be buildings and like technology and that humans were in the woods naked. And he's like, when was this? He goes, was this when I was -1? And I was like, you know, it was before that. It was before you were born.
He's going to tell someone at school about humans being naked now.
I know. Well, then we did tell a story about your sister and her dog, Daisy. And Daisy was trying to save Allie from monsters. And the only way to turn the monsters back into people was to shoot poop at them. And so Daisy pooped all over the monsters. And they turned back to humans. But then a whole other wave of monsters came. And then Bryn took over the story. And he said Daisy was all out of poop because she had pooped too much. And so Allie took off all of her clothes. And I was like, maybe I should stop this. And she goes, and then she pointed her butt at everybody and pooped on all of the monsters in the whole world and turned everyone back into people. And I go, the end? He goes, yeah, the end.
That reminds me. Do you know that? I think I told you the story, but you know that guy Blippi who does those weird YouTube videos that are also on Amazon Prime?
Yeah, and he shit on his friend?
He did. Prior to being Blippi, he was doing some YouTube thing or something trying to be a comedian where he shit all over someone. And there's a really funny article about it where they do an artist rendering of him shitting on someone for a YouTube video. And I just love the drawing so much.
Don't let your kids watch Blippi. Not because that guy shit on somebody, but it's garbage. It's garbage entertainment. And your kids will want to watch it, but don't let them.
Guy shit on somebody. It's because the logic that led him to shitting on somebody is the same logic that led to piloting Blippi.
It is literally just, how can I get people to click on this? It doesn't matter what it is. If you write in and defend Blippi, you're dead to me. I'm sorry. This is supposed to be a judgment-free zone. And I won't judge you for any parenting choices you make unless that choice is Blippi.
Yeah. There's another guy that they've been watching more recently who's like a British guy. And he's like, hi, I'm talking to aliens. And it's like...
It's also garbage, but I don't hate him the same way.
I don't hate him, but it's not good. And you watch it and you're just like, why this guy? Like,
he's the same thing. He's making a ton of money.
That's what happens when anyone can make...
from clicks. This is why I deleted his Amazon Prime.
I know.
And Bryn finds a way to re-download it. And this has been Would You Knows? Did we answer a question? I don't know.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Know. It's where we take some questions and comments from our listeners.
All right. This one says, hi there. I'm enjoying your podcast for several months and sharing it with my friends and family. Other nice things, skipping ahead. I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, both boys, and your stories always hit close to home. Congratulations on 1 year of the podcast. I'm drinking tequila straight, which is something you do, and I'm only doing it because my normal drinks are gone.
The listener wrote this, or you're saying this?
I'm saying this right now, and it's having a weird effect on me.
It's a really weird time to say it just in the middle of reading a listener.
Well, I was burping into the microphone again, and I was like, is this the tequila thing? The burps? Gross. Nope. Quality content. I have a would you knows for you.
Yeah.
You're listening to your favorite parenting podcast. The casters mentioned that they've had a very exciting phone call and go on and on about it for several minutes without explaining, except to say they can't explain right now. You figure, meh, I guess we'll hear about it next week. Then next week episode comes, they don't mention the phone call at all. What would you do with your curious frustration?
We got a lot of our friends and family like texted us and we're like, what the fuck is the secret? We haven't gotten permission to release that information, have we?
Still on lockdown.
I will say for you guys, it's probably not important to you directly.
It's going to be some quality content.
But we will deliver some fun content when we're allowed to release that.
We're just going to tease the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Actually, we're going to not mention it at all unless the listener writes in.
Anyway, so what would we do if we were listening to a podcast? Would do that just?
We would write in
passive aggressively in the form of a hypothetical would you knows. And
just know that you're going to find out. We don't have permission yet.
We're going to tell you. We can't wait to tell you.
It's pretty cool. We recorded the conversation, so you're going to hear it. Anyway, that's not the end of this email. Okay, maybe a serious question. My wife and I are trying very hard not to shame our newly 4-year-old son for touching his penis. We tell him he should only touch his privates in private. He often goes to the bathroom saying he's going to pee, or stays in there for extended time after using potty. I'm pretty bothered by it because if I don't knock on the door, he'll stay there for a long time. I know Peter mentioned walking in on your daughter touching herself. Have you had a lot of experience with this? What have you two done? Keep on being awesome. Awesome. Shyman. It's like Simon with the SH. I hope I'm saying that right. Thank you, Shyman.
Our kids haven't been doing a ton of touching, but they have said a lot of things about genitals lately.
They have they?
You texted me yesterday. Maven was you put down the small toilet seat that is part of our toilet seat so she can sit on the toilet, and she said, "I need a little seat because I have a little vagina."
and I just try really hard not to show my reaction to those things because then it becomes a game and then it's funny and they repeat it over and over.
I don't really mind. She was peeing today and she was like, "I'm going pee-pee." They always tell us what they're doing as they're peeing, if it's pee-pee
Daddy,
or poo-poo.
I'm going poops and peeps.
And she was like, "I'm going pee-pee." And she goes, "Pee-pee is a funny word." And she
I'll just clarify what I just said. I don't react to those things, not because, but I also, I show them that it's totally acceptable to talk about whatever. But well, I know if also, I laugh at it, then it's going to be a joke and they're going to repeat it in a way that's less appropriate than if it's just a matter of fact thing.
There's another instance recently you told me about where Maven told you that you have a big wiener.
That was a vulnerable moment.
Yeah.
I was peeing and she, normally I have like my foot like by the door because the door doesn't lock so they can just come in.
Our kids constantly come in every time I'm peeing. And if I try to hold the door shut, Maven wedges her way into the bathroom.
She goes, "Let me in!"
To be right next to me as I pee.
Well, the door was wide open this one time and she just snuck right around me and then basically like grabbed my leg and peered around me like I'm a tree to just stare directly at my penis.
But I understand that feeling. As a little girl, I understand that feeling where you're like, what is going on with that? What are they doing?
And she just stared. And like right as I started peeing, she got in there and stared right at it. So I'm just going to obviously keep peeing. And the whole time, and then she goes, what did she say? Something like,
she said, you have a big wiener.
Yeah, you're a really big wiener. I was like, oh, that makes me squirm.
Well, I was telling our friend Marcy what she said about having a little vagina, and Marcy was like, well, it's kind of a brag, but.
Weird flex, but okay.
Okay, I have one more wiener story.
Okay, great.
These have been sitting in my notes. Bryn said, Bryn told me that he was glad he has a wiener, and then he turned to Maven and said, "You're sad because you don't have a wiener."
Wow, okay.
There's a lot of wiener.
A lot of body shaming here.
Yeah, also a lot of wiener peacocking around here.
That's just called cocking. I'm so sorry.
The original peacocking. Just the cock.
To answer your question, I think it's fine. He's not hurting himself.
The listener question that they're touching.
He's in there for a while, going to town.
He'll get tired of it, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Well, it'll evolve.
He'll get better. He'll get better at it.
He'll get better at it.
Don't worry.
It'll take less time.
He'll be more efficient in the future.
Oh my gosh, Beth, we need to buy a house just so not all so close together when our kids become teenagers.
Yeah. Also, so we're not all so close together right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Also for all the other times in our life. All right, here's another one. You ready?
Yeah. I don't know why you always ask that.
I just need you to be emotionally prepared. I don't need to be confused. From whose voice it is I am speaking. I've never sent you guys an email because I'm only 26, 27 in June. I don't know why that's a reason.
He doesn't make the cutoff.
But that's the rule. But anyways, Me and my mother have the same birth. Okay, so we talked on last week's episode, the week before.
Oh, about people having the same birthdays in their
A lot
family.
Of similar birthdays. Like Bryn has the same birthday as my sister-in-law. You have the same birthday as my dad. My mom has the same birthday as her twin brother and his wife. So this blew my mind. And I know that this is going to mean more to you than it does to me, but I, despite the, anyway, it's, I still think it's cool. Anyway, me and my mom have the same birthday, June 11th, which I don't think I said this, but listener, whose name is Thomas, June 11th is my mom's birthday.
Which means it's also her brother and his wife's birthday.
Yeah, and it's your birthday, and it's your mom's birthday, and that's insane.
Yeah.
My sisters are twins, and they share the same birthday, November 3rd. And my dad is the only one, but his is December 29th, which, so he basically shares with Christmas. And your sister, Beth.
Is December 28th.
Is December 28th, and she has to share it with Christmas.
Well, this listener email is what I would call synchronicity.
And I'd call it, you know, there's only 365 days. But I really enjoyed it.
If you believe in magic.
And I definitely don't. But
you could
I
have
love
a better life, but you just
way.
Choose not to.
I believe in you. Should we make this a singing podcast?
Listeners, let us know if we should make this a singing podcast. If you're transfixed by our voices just now.
I was the musical director of more than one a cappella group.
I did a lot of singing on my girls' trip this weekend. And
I bet you did. You had the time of your life,
I had
didn't
the time
you?
Of my life.
I was really jealous. It motivated me to, because you've taken a lot of trips this year. And I said, I'm going to go on a trip. And then you said, you wouldn't do anything just for you. It'd be a work trip. And so I'm like, I'm going to think of something that's just a fun trip.
For me and the boys.
And then I was like, who are the boys? Nick can't go. He's got a baby.
Who are the boys?
Where'd I go? And then I was like, I guess I'll go on a Story Pirates tour. Technically it's work, but I'm doing it for me. Anyway.
I think that would be good for you guys, honestly. Like, part of what I think I've said in the past is like what I find slightly exhausting about like family group trips is one, we all have to watch the kids. But two, men don't always understand as much how to plan a trip. So you don't step up as much or notice the things that need to be done. And if you guys were doing your own trips, you might realize through trial and error that, you know, food needs to happen.
You know that I've been on a lot of tours and I'm always in charge and I'm great at that.
You're not
stuff.
In a house having to plan and cook meals.
You're right. It's different. I was just thinking, I was literally... because I read an article that talked about emotional labor. That's why it's on my mind right now. But it was talking about like couples communicating and sort of identifying emotional labor with each other. So it was talking about making a list. And so I sort of made a list in my head of stuff. And I think the big things that I still don't think of, some more or less than others, is a less typical
survival needs.
Survival needs. Like, I forget to breathe a lot. No. Trips, you know, like packing, which I'm more in tune to than I used to be, like planning ahead. And the trips, thank you cards, which I don't do. My family doesn't really do. A third one I've already forgot about.
Great. I guess I'll have to think of it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of other stuff on there. Doing great. All right. Well, Thomas, you wrote more here, which was nice things about us. So thank you, Thomas. Those numbers really got me to consider magic and then continue to reject it. All right. You ready for this? Yeah, I'm going to ask you every time. Here we go. Hey, Beth and Peter. First off, great job. And congratulations on the live show. Thank you. As someone who has heard every episode of We Know's Stuff You Should Know and Movie Crush, it was awesome to meet folks that I spend several hours a week with. I think you mean for us to meet each other. Should we say, you know what we're doing next week?
What?
Or the week after?
What are we doing?
We're going. We talked about this in the last show. We're going to Chuck Bryant's lake house in Georgia. I am so excited.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
He sent me a text going, I'm going to send you an email with all the info. And that's why I started thinking about this emotional labor thing, because I'm like, I'm going to be on top of it.
We got to get those puddle jumpers packed up.
That's right. What are puddle jumpers? my wife and I just played a fun game with our three-year-old son, MJ, and I thought it made a fun game for you and other listeners. We pitted some of MJ's favorite people, things, and foods against each other to find out where his priorities are. Would you knows your kid's order of favorite things? So we did this round robin style and used the transitive property to speed things up. Here are the results of the inaugural tournament of MJ's favorite things. Right? So here we go real quick. Mommy versus daddy. Mommy wins. Mommy versus ravioli. Mommy wins. Daddy versus ravioli. Ravioli wins. Daddy versus Kona. Family dog. Kona wins. Ice cream versus mommy. Ice cream wins. Kona versus mommy. Mommy wins. Kona versus ravioli. Kona wins. Meatballs versus ravioli. Meatballs. Meatballs versus Kona. Kona. Cheeseburger versus meatballs. Cheeseburger. Cheeseburger versus ice cream. Cheeseburger. Ice cream versus meatballs. Ice cream. Mommy versus meatballs. Mommy. Beach versus daddy. Beach. Pool versus daddy. Pool. Beach, the pool is not functional or even completely installed yet. Beach versus mommy, beach. Beach versus cheeseburger, beach. Beach versus pool, no answer, it is a tie. Official results, tied for first place, beach and pool. Third place, cheeseburgers. Fourth place, ice cream. Fifth place, mommy. Sixth place, Kona, the dog. Seventh place, meatballs. Eighth place, ravioli. Ninth, probably a bunch of other stuff. Participation trophy, daddy.
I was impressed that Kona the dog beat out ravioli. I didn't expect hamburger to beat
cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers to beat mommy. But ice cream, I would have expected to beat mommy.
Yeah, you know what? I'd put ice cream in first place.
Yeah.
Now.
Great, thank you.
I would definitely... definitely be below you. Boy, what is that? My kids love me. They spend a lot of time with me, but I picked Maven up today. I go, you guys know, who's at home? Or you know what's at home? And Bryn goes, is it a mammal? I go, yep. And he goes, is it a primate? I go, yeah. And he goes, can it talk? I'm like, yeah. He goes, is that mommy? And he goes, yeah. And then Maven had a long delay, like she wasn't listening. And then she suddenly goes, mommy, I'm going to hug her. And she was so excited to see you. Did you feel it when she came in?
Yeah. She gave me a really big hug with dramatically threw her, kicked her feet up in the air while I was holding her, like as if she was being kissed in an old timey movie. It was great.
It was fantastic. You're a wonderful mommy.
They were asking today if like mermaids were mammals. There's a long debate about that. Listeners, let us know your thoughts, because I can see it both ways. I've definitely seen mermaids with gills.
Mermaids, first of all, they're not real. But second of all, they are definitely both. They're literally half mammal, half fish.
You have such like human fragility that you needed to say they're not real.
Well, I only say that because Bryn asked me, and so it was a big point during that conversation.
First of all, they're not real. Okay,
idiot listeners who think mermaids are real, unless you do think they're real and you're not an idiot.
Childhood ends now.
Believe what you want to believe. But I'm going to believe what I want to believe. But let's get into the biology of this thing that doesn't exist, which I'm happy to do.
Of mermaids? I think we can leave it there.
Yeah, let's leave it there. Well, okay, let's wrap up the year, Beth. How did we do?
We did great.
We did great.
We only missed 1 week for Christmas of this podcast.
That's true.
Can you believe that?
Boy, that's impressive. If we took a week off, how is it that we're at 52 weeks? Oh, it should be next. Doesn't matter. Not important. I'm proud of us. We did this thing.
Our anniversary was actually last week. We screwed up this whole thing.
Ooh.
Scrap the episode.
What are your goals for the for season two?
Season two. Yeah, I mean, for our lives or for the podcast?
What's the difference?
It's sort of the same thing.
That's exactly right.
My goal is definitely to own a house at some point.
You know what? I remember back again, if you listen to Born in a Car episode, you'll know that Beth was talking about cars and I was like, we can't afford cars. We can't afford a house. But I'm much more open to the idea after you manifested a Honda CRV.
Yeah. Now we have a car.
And now we own it.
Yeah. So suck on that, haters.
Weirdos! Oh, this has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. End of year one.
We did it.
You maybe give us the present, write us a review, leave us a rating on the old Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can write in with your questions, comments, or would you know scenarios at weknowspod@gmail.com.
Peter, I think you're rapidly aging.
I don't know what you mean. Where can they find us on the social media, Beth?
We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at weknowspod.
Yeah.
And you can, did you already say this? You can email us if you have a question or comment at weknowspod@gmail.com.
I did, but it doesn't hurt to repeat it, you know?
It Guys, never hurts.
Beth?
What?
I love you with all my heart.
I love you too.
Bye!